Right now, it is time to bring in Arthur Schwartz. It is time for the Food Maven. Arthur joins us every Monday morning at this time, just about 99.9% of the time. Arthur is rebroadcast, of course, on the weekend and during the week. And we say good morning, Arthur, and happy day after Super Bowl Sunday.
What do you mean 99.9%?
Well, there's
how many years? In like 14 years.
That's what I said, 99.9%.
I think I missed like two Mondays.
That's like that is like 99.9%. It's like you one small little piece, but
yeah.
But anyway, so it's nice to get Super Bowl Sunday.
Allora.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know how many others of you were stuck in the house when the temperature was. I don't know what did it get down to in Sharon.
Over the past
week, low point.
It was at a low point. I think it was 8 or 9 below. Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
One morning I woke up and it was 2 degrees, and then it went up to 6, and then it went down to 4. So within an hour or so of my getting up, so I didn't go out. You know, today is going to be like spring.
Yep.
This is going to be really weird. Tomorrow is going to be even more spring-like, apparently. But I'm sure we're going to get stuck in the house again. And you know, I wrote a book called What to Cook When You Think There's Nothing in the House to Eat. And I wrote it when I was living in Cornwall, and I was often stuck in the house.
That's right.
and Utzler's had closed, and the nearest market was going to be in Sharon over the mountain. I don't know. I didn't go out very much. So, but, you know, even here in Brooklyn, where I have a car and public transportation, when it's 6 degrees, I didn't want to go out. So I baked. I don't bake too often because I'm not supposed to be eating baked goods very much. But I baked. I had to bake. And one of the reasons I baked, and I don't know what to bake, you know, except that some months ago, Dory Greenspan, who is a lot of people's baking guru and an old friend of mine, published a recipe, I think it was in the Time, it was in the New York Times Magazine, for her carrot cake. And the picture of the carrot cake sort of looked like what I would get if I made a carrot cake, so that encouraged me. I mean, it wasn't this perfection of French pastry, which is what Dory is known for. And I don't really love carrot cake, but I had the revelation that it wasn't the cake I didn't like, it's the frosting. And even on Dory's, you know, updated, and I'm sure by this time a zillion million people have baked this recipe, I realized it was the frosting, which is basically cream cheese and confectioner's sugar. I think she puts in a little lemon zest or something, which on a comment on the recipe said is an act of genius. But anyway, so I decided, and I had also bought a lot of carrots. I don't know if anybody else has noticed, but carrots are very cheap at the moment. They're coming from somewhere in the U.S. They're not coming from Mexico. And you can get like a 2 or 3 pound bag for less than $1 a pound, and even in my expensive neighborhood. So I did buy this gigunda bag of carrots, and here I'm stuck in the house with a bag of carrots, so I made carrot cake. Now, what I did, was I took Dory's recipe, and instead of baking it in 9-inch round layers, I baked it in, and since I wasn't going to frost it and make a layer cake, I baked it in a 13-by-9-inch baking pan, a metal one, a one that I use for cakes, not my Pyrex dish, although I guess you could, there's no reason you couldn't bake this in Pyrex, but the timing is not going to be the same. The browning on the edge is not going to be the same, but it's still going to be a very good cake. So I knew that the timing was going to be wrong, but I followed Dory's recipe to a T, and I just didn't bake it in the same pan. And it took about 10, perhaps it was even 15 minutes longer in this 9-by-13-inch baking pan, dark metal baking pan. If you did it in Pyrex, I don't know. You'd have to check it after an hour, for sure. The Dory's 9-inch layers bake for 45 to 50 minutes. When I opened the door at 50 minutes with my cake, I could tell just by looking at it that the center was not firm enough. So I put it back in, and then I opened up another 10 minutes, and then I still put it back in. But it came out great. And it does cut nicely into squares, and you don't need to put icing on it. You can put you can serve it with ice cream. I prefer vanilla. You could also serve it with whipped cream. I was thinking, only because I had a container of it in the refrigerator, but I didn't do this, I could beat sour cream with some brown sugar, and that would be a nice topping to this cake. Not too much sugar, but enough to make the sour cream not so sour. So I'm going to give you the recipe because it's interesting. I know I have no memory problems, really, because after making this, reading it a bunch of times and making it once, I pretty much have memorized this recipe. It was such a hit, I'm going to be making it again. But also, I froze part of it. It was a lot of cake. I gave some to my neighbor, and I put some of it in the freezer. And last night, when we had guests, I defrosted it, and it was perfect, frozen. No problem. And it does, by the way, so one of my guests said, why would you even want to eat carrot cake? I mean, what's the point of putting carrots in cake? Well, one point is that the cake stays moist for a long time. I guess you do get some extra nutrition out of those carrots. In this case, it's a whole pound of carrots. I'm going to start the recipe with that. A whole pound of carrots. I peel mine, cut the tips off, cut the leafy end off, and grated them on the coarsest side of my four-sided box grater. Dory tells you can actually, if you like, do this in your food processor with the shredding blade, where it'll go zip, zip, zip. I sort of enjoy doing this manually. In fact, I made the whole cake by hand. I did not pull out any electric device, much less my big stand-up mixer, although you could do this. To bake this cake, it's not necessary. So grate your carrots. You should have 3 cups of grated carrot from 1 pound of carrots, and set that aside and mix your dry ingredients. 2 cups of flour. I spoon my flour into the cup and level it off. 2 teaspoons of baking powder. 2 teaspoons of baking soda. 2 teaspoons of ground cinnamon, and the recipe actually calls for 3/4 cup of salt. I eyeballed the salt. Mine could have been closer to a teaspoon. I always think a little extra salt never hurts, especially, you know, when you have something like carrots, which you want to bring out their flavor. So that's your dry ingredients. Now you make your chunky ingredients. To the 3 cups of grated carrot, you add a 1/2 cup of shredded coconut. Now, Dory gives you a choice, sweetened or unsweetened. I use unsweetened. I think next time I'm going to try the sweetened. I would have liked a little bit more coconut flavor from the finished product, and I think if I'd used sweetened coconut, I would get that. Of course, the cake's going to be a little sweeter, too. But with the unsweetened coconut, the flavor is not very sweet. So you really, you know, especially since I'm not putting a sweet icing on top of it. You know, that makes, I think, all the difference if you're loading it up with cream cheese beaten with confectioner's sugar. That's adding a lot of sweetness. But I'm not doing that. So anyway, so your chunky ingredients are, back to that, 1/2 cup of sweetened or unsweetened coconut, and nuts, either walnuts or pecans. I use pecans because I happen to have them, and they don't last that long in the cupboard, so I wanted to use them as quickly as possible. So 1 cup of coarsely chopped pecans or walnuts, and 1/2 cup. Did I say 1/2 cup of shredded coconut? Should be 1 cup. See how much my memory is. one cup of shredded coconut, a half a cup of raisins, or Dory suggests dried cranberries. I'm not a big dried cranberry person, but you could even mix them if you wanted to, a half a cup. So now you got your bowl of dry ingredients, which you've mixed together. I just whisked them together, the dry ingredients, and then your chunky ingredients. And now in a third bowl, you're going to start the batter. Beat 2 cups of sugar into 1 cup of neutral oil. I use canola oil. And when you got it, you know, when they're all mixed together, sugar and oil, and I just used a whisk to do this, by the way. I didn't use a machine, as I said. Beat in 4 large eggs, 1 at a time. And in the end, you're going to have a very smooth mixture of sugar, oil, and egg. To that, stir in with a rubber spatula, put your whisk aside, stir in the mixture of dry ingredients, and just mix it until they're mixed in. And then, not meaning don't overbeat it. And you have a rubber spatula. It's hard to overbeat. And then dump in your chunky ingredients, the carrots, walnuts, coconut, raisins, and fold all that in, or stir-fold that in. You don't have to be careful folding, you know, air, whatever. And I poured this into a greased, and meaning buttered, and floured 12 by 13 inch pan, and which is a standard size. Did I say 12? 9 by 13 inch pan, and the standard size, and bake at 325 degrees. As I said, in the big pan, it's going to take at least an hour, probably a little more than an hour. You're going to see the edges will brown and pull away from the sun. Not terribly brown, but they'll get browner than the middle. But the middle should be, you know, puffed up and firm. Touch it with your finger. I used a cake tester, a straw, a piece of, like, broom straw. But, you know, I'm not sure that that's an effective way of telling if this cake is done, because it's a very moist cake. Nothing came up on my straw, but I think you need to touch it right in the middle and see that it's firm before you pull it out of the oven. That's it. Let it cool. You could sprinkle it with confectioner sugar if you really want to. As I said, you could serve it with ice cream or blah, blah, blah. But it was a sensational carrot cake, even though I'm not a big fan of carrot cake. But I am a big fan of carrots. And this is, you know, as I said, they're very inexpensive, but they're also last in your refrigerator for quite a long time. I noted that it's one of the ingredients, one of the 52 pantry ingredients that I enumerate in what to cook when you think there's nothing in the house to eat, which, by the way, the original title of was Emergency Meals. But the publisher decided that that sounded like 911.
or your Under the Desk cookbook.
Yeah. So the title became the subtitle. And but I cook carrots as a vegetable, and I also cook celery as a vegetable. I think these are two very underrated vegetables. Oh. And in the winter, we have a limit to what we have in the market that's really good. Although I must say, I bought excellent red peppers from Mexico the other day. I am not a locavore at all. But carrots and celery, the celery doesn't stay in the refrigerator as long as we would like it to. Yeah, when I see that the nice dark green ribs are starting to turn pale, it's time to make celery as a vegetable because I just want to use it up. And how I do that is I cut the celery. I wash it. And I cut the ribs on a very acute angle. So I'm not getting crosswise little pieces of celery, but I'm getting long, angular pieces of celery that deserve to be called a vegetable side dish, or if you're a vegetarian, part of an array of other vegetables. So this is so super easy. I can do it without thinking. Be careful when you're cutting up the celery. All the work is cutting up the celery. throw it into, no matter how, what the amount is, it could be just a few ribs, it could be a whole bunch. Pick a pan size where the celery is not going to be crowded in the pan, but mostly spread out in the pan. So if you're doing, you know, 5-6 ribs of celery, you're going to need a 10-inch skillet. And melt a tablespoon or so of butter, or you could use olive oil if you like, but in this case, with celery, I like butter. And saute the celery just for a couple of minutes until all the pieces are nicely coated with a little bit of butter. And then add a little bit of broth. Could be chicken broth, could be beef broth. I guess if you're a vegetarian, it could be vegetable broth, but the celery itself is sort of overpowering to a vegetable broth, and I sort of need that. Oh, I know what you could do. You could use water, if you're a vegetarian, water with a few drops of soy sauce or other hydrolyzed protein, which is vegetarian.
Or
it'll give that base note that I'm looking for. Pardon me?
Or what about ume vinegar? That's what I would use.
I don't. Well, it's too acid.
Nah, it's
not.
No,
it's not acid.
No, it's actually alkaline. I would use that instead of soy sauce for that note. I'm just throwing that
in. Okay, but it doesn't have a lot of acidity.
No,
it's vinegar.
It's made of ume plums. Taste it, you'll know. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you'll go, she's crazy.
Next time I see you, you'll give me a spoonful.
Okay.
I'm not buying a jar. I have no use for it. And I'm in this mode of getting rid of stuff that I don't use, and I just unloaded.
I use it to make, I used to use...
A lot of oxidized condiments.
I used to use...
And jams and stuff that have been in the pantry way too long, including, and I'm not getting rid of this, the last honey made in Cornwall, and so this must date back to the late 80s, early 90s. No, could be as late as the 90s. And I'm forgetting whose farm it was from, who was keeping bees. But we had a bee mite problem, and they had to abandon the hives. And this was the last honey made. Anyway, so I'm sort of not buying things that I only use 2 teaspoons of and then have to figure out what to do with the rest of. In any case, I use beef broth or chicken broth. I'm not afraid of a half a cup of broth. So you put in your broth and cover the pan and let it braise until the celery is tender, which is usually not more than 5 or 10 minutes, depending on how big a light you have under it. Don't do too ferocious. You don't want anything to burn. You don't want the liquid to totally evaporate until you're finished cooking the celery. And if it does, if you use broth, you can at that point just add some water by the tablespoon until your celery is tender. It's very good. I must say, the first time I made this, I was amazed at how good celery could be. Now, carrots, I most often roast. And again, I cut the carrots on a sharp and acute angle so that there's a lot of surface, not just little coins, but long pieces. And I toss them with a little bit of olive oil, and very little bit is necessary for a pound of carrots. A tablespoon of oil is enough. Toss them with that, salt, and I like cumin. We like cumin. We love cumin carrots. So depending on the age of your cumin, sprinkle it with a good amount of cumin. Mine is of middle age at the moment. So for a pound of carrots, maybe 2 teaspoons of cumin, and toss it so that everything's coated. Put it out on a baking sheet. Roast it at 450 degrees for 15 to 20 minutes. You want some of the carrots to get tinged with brown, but they'll be tender for sure. At 450, 15, 20 minutes, they're totally tender. But sometimes I like them more shriveled and less. And as they cool, I cool mine on the baking sheet itself. Of course, you can just put them out immediately hot, but we eat them like candy practically at room temperature. But I let them cool on the baking sheet, where they will reduce in size considerably after they're cooked. So a pound of carrots there's not that many carrots in the end because they do get shriveled up. So if you're two people, don't be afraid of a pound of carrots. And as I say, they're delicious. I actually, sometimes my batch of carrots is half gone by the time we get to eat dinner because every time Bob comes in the kitchen, he starts grabbing carrots.
Yeah.
I'd rather him steal carrots than meatballs. But
The other
save the meatballs
but you
yourself.
Know, it's better for him too.
See, you're saving the meatballs for yourself. Is what it is.
The roasting carrots. I've said this before, but you've always chopped up, not chopped, but used your carrots cut that way, and onions and some olive oil and. Thrown it in there. Sometimes a little bit of, depending on how much time you have, if you need it to happen faster, throw in a little bit of broth or water just to move things along.
I don't think you need the broth or the water, truthfully.
If you,
in the oven, I don't think
if
so.
You've messed up.
I mean, I like the idea that they're getting concentrated.
Right, and, so otherwise, if you've got the time.
If I'm going to boil carrots, I'll make glazed carrots.
Listen to If you don't mess up the timing on this, you don't need the water. Otherwise, so you've got the carrots, the onions, and the olive oil, and you
use
it together,
enough.
and you
more is less.
All right, and
I
then
mean,
you,
less is more.
And then you basically
no, you're right. More is less. I now look at recipes the way my friend Roseanne Gold used to. Is how many ingredients are there? She wrote all these three ingredient books. Now I see that Jamie Oliver's making the big splash with a five-ingredient book.
Oh,
but I don't know what he includes. Does he have? I have to see if he has any free. In Roseanne's books, salt, pepper, and water were always free.
but the point is, after let's just say, how many years of really of watching food porn, basically. I too, it's like, what three things can you put in it? What four? It really tastes better if you're just working with the thing, I think.
I agree. So those out-of-season red peppers are an example because I do peppers in a lot of ways, but this is a winter way and a way that... appears on the antipasto buffet of one of our favorite restaurants in Rome, which is not in the center of the city. It's in a residential neighborhood. So I'm not recommending it necessarily. I'm just telling you that I get cooking ideas there. These people are from Molise, but they lived in Rome at least two generations. So they keep up Molisano traditions. And serve Molisano prosciutto and cheese. But anyway, they have a big buffet table where they do a number of vegetables just baked in the oven with breadcrumbs. I after I did my extensive explorations of southern Italy, I decided maybe it should be called a breadcrumb cuisine instead of a red sauce cuisine because breadcrumbs appear so frequently, even just as a pasta topping. But so I those Mexican red peppers, I quartered them, seeded them, and laid them out on a greased baking sheet. And on top of each quarter of a pepper, which lay, I picked my peppers so that they...
Peter Piper.
I picked my peppers so knowing I was going to do this, so... I wanted them to be able to lay flat on a pan or relatively flat. When you go look at peppers, you'll see that there's some they're more flat-sided than others. Anyway, I have so on these strips of pepper, I put just breadcrumb moistened with a little olive oil and garlic, salt and pepper, the free ingredients. So I minced my garlic very, very small. I just stirred it into the breadcrumbs with the oil. I like to oil the breadcrumbs first as opposed to drizzle, as so many recipes will tell you, to drizzle breadcrumbs with olive oil. But you get an uneven drizzling, and you need more oil than if you do it my way, and then you get really very homogeneously oily crumbs. Anyway, that's it. Three ingredients: breadcrumbs, garlic, olive oil, free salt and pepper. And that when it goes over the peppers, and I bake them at 450 degrees for a good 25 minutes until the edges of some were a little charred. As they cool, they will soften even more. So again, I just left them on the baking sheet until they were at room temperature, and then I put them out on a, and they look great, I must say, on a platter, because red peppers with these browned crumbs, you don't need anything more than that. However, had I had parsley in the refrigerator, I probably would have chopped in some parsley to the crumbs, or put a couple of leaves on top of the baked peppers. But anyway, so that's a fourth ingredient, parsley.
This is all just making me hungry. And you can probably do this with other.
Pardon me?
I said this is all just making me hungry.
Well, and go eat something.
I will.
Have you eaten anything yet?
No, I've just had apple juice.
Do you eat breakfast?
I am about to.
I'm going to eat my charred salmon. I'm a big breakfast eater. But I don't eat a big breakfast, but I make sure to have a breakfast.
Yeah, I'm one of those people that likes more. I like my broiled salmon. And I like for breakfast or mushroom broth. I'm not a good bacon and egger or a carb breakfast.
No, that I don't eat, no. But I do have my high-fiber flatbread and either some cheese or lately I've been eating peanut butter.
Mm-hmm.
On the back of the jar, I'll tell you, 2 tablespoons is a serving, and that's what I have. And this is interesting, maybe, to somebody other than me. I've been buying a new brand, or at least I never saw the brand until recently, peanut butter called Georgia Grinders. And it's nothing but ground peanuts and a little salt. In fact, some days I say, I want salt. I even put a little extra salt on, but it doesn't really need it. It's just And this particular, I didn't buy it for this reason. I bought it because I'm always looking, instead of grinding my own, which I do sometimes too. I don't mean at home, but in the store, you know, some stores have roasted peanuts and peanut butter grinders. But I thought, it's just peanuts and salt. I love it, and it's not that expensive. In my expensive store, it's $5 for a 12-ounce jar, and I noted that even, you know, commercial peanut butter is almost that much, a little less, but not that much less. And it only has 160 calories in 2 tablespoons, as opposed to commercial peanut butter, which has 190 calories for 2 tablespoons. And I'm supposing it's because there's always an added fat to the peanut butter, as if peanuts don't have enough fat already. And in fact, the only downside I could give you about Georgia Grinders peanut butter is that it does separate. But since I have peanut butter, you know, many days, it doesn't get much of a chance to separate. And you just stir it with a long-handled spoon or however, and it homogenizes again. And it's really good. So there's my breakfast, and I'm going to go have it now with another cup of coffee.
Enjoy your breakfast and coffee in the warm weather, and we'll speak to you next week.
In the warm weather, yeah. Enjoy spring, everybody. It's only going to last 2 days.
That's right. We'll take
it. Well said. All right.
Take care. Arthur Schwartz, the food maven this morning, here on the Robin Hood Radio Network on The Breakfast Club. Underwriting support for Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, John Andrews Restaurant on the Hillsdale Road in South Egremont, 413-528-3467. On the web, jarestaurant.com. Rubiner's Cheesemongers and Grocers on Main Street in Great Barrington, 413-528-0488, rubiners.com. Hillsdale Home Chef with 2 beautiful teaching classes, and they've got classes to go in those cooking rooms. More information, 518-325-7000, hgshomechef.com. And Haven Cafe in Lenox, Massachusetts, offering quality food and excellent service. Also, they feature catering. Supporting local organic farmers, environmentally conscious, and epicurious distributors, havencafebakery.com.